Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you. Getaway Friday, October the 3rd, 2025, 14 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. We thank Christian Pearson for being with us this morning. It was good to see him again. And I'm sure he'll be back around election time. We had the big party last night. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. We thank David Pepper for coming on this morning and Buckeye Guy. So we've had a lot of fun with that. But the lines are open now, and we can talk about anything you like. 740-383-9944. Good night last night. But as I say, we knew the room was small. We knew we could not have a big crowd. We could not say it was open to the public. We could not say what was happening, because Mary Ellen would then find out what was happening. So it had to be an absolute secret. And I am amazed that it was able to be kept an absolute. It really did not get out. I guess if you don't talk about something and only a few people know about it, it doesn't get out.
Well, That's how secrets work.
Yeah, but usually it does. Well, usually people cannot keep a secret. And once you start telling the people who are going to speak, then word starts to get around and inevitably something slips out. But it didn't here.
Well, you didn't tell any. I mean, like David Pepper said, I mean, like, I don't even know who all knew the list. I mean,
nobody knew the other people, but they knew, obviously, that there were going to be speakers, and Mary Ellen did not know that.
Well, yeah.
Though. It about slipped here a few weeks ago.
Oh, I remember. I was there. Oh,
it was somebody about gave it away. I don't know why.
it was funny. I'm not. I mean, oh, I stared him down. I couldn't say it. You know, it is a secret.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. That's how easy it can happen. So the fact that it was in the works for about 6 weeks and nobody ever blew it. In 6 weeks, because, you know, it wasn't a big group that knew about it, but the people she wanted invited and the people who were speaking, they knew about it, and it never came out.
Well, that's good.
So that was good. And I think she felt good about it. The conversation I had with her after was a very, very good conversation.
Well, I mean, I figured it wouldn't be bad. I mean, I know the other day, I don't remember if it was a taping or on here with us, but Mary Ellen had said that she did not like surprises.
Oh, I said that to her last night when I was talking to her family.
I was
family.
Like, ooh, that might be rough.
if you watch the taping, not now, but the episode is up now, the television episode, which we taped on Wednesdays out. Watch it later on today with Matt, Mary Ellen, and myself. But during that episode, the night before, I said, what was your worst birthday? And she said, oh, my mother threw me a surprise party. I hate surprises. And she goes, when they used to have a birthday party for me when I was state treasurer, they would come and tell me right before, and that way it wasn't surprise. And I'm sitting there on the set thinking, tomorrow night we're going to surprise this woman. She is never going to come on again. She's going to hate me. And I said that to her last night when it was all over. I went over to her. And I said, Mary Ellen, when you said that last night on the show, she said, I thought this was going to be a bad night. She said, this was wonderful. She said, this was not a surprise. This was wonderful.
Well, I mean, it was fun. I mean, yeah. I mean, like, how upset could you really be? I mean, you had two governors. You had at least one governor who sent. I mean, like, there were. Bill Clinton sent a letter. I mean, like, how could you be mad?
Well, and it was just she was so nice after. You know, that'll be something I remember personally. Just having that. She called me over. I got the finger when the show was over, and she called me over. And she just could not have been nicer.
Well, that's good. You know, I'm glad she enjoyed it.
Yeah, but it was funny. There is a moment, I don't even if she'll remember it or not, but she's sitting at the head table. I get up and we're starting the show, and we're playing the video on her career. Now, she doesn't know any of that's happening. And she, you know, now that the show's starting, she's kind of getting a feeling that what she thought was going to happen is not what's happening. And I walked in the other room, but there's a hallway. There's a door, an opening between the two rooms. And she looked at me and smiled and just pointed at me. Like, you got me. You got me. I didn't know you were doing this. So, you know. And she's been asking me, because she, it's been a while, about 3 or 4 months ago, I asked her for some tapes, if she still had any tapes of things that she did. And a lot of that was on the video last night. Well, I don't know if she thought I was working on that stuff or not. She would ask every so often, what are you finding on those tapes? A lot of that was that stuff that was on there last night on that video.
Well, I didn't realize you were going to put together... I didn't even realize that's what it was all for. I thought you were using it to make like a documentary.
Oh, I am.
So you're going to do
That's 17
like a
minutes
of the documentary.
Yeah, that's 17 minutes. There's it'll probably be about 90 a movie time.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll get there. I got the material. Trust me, getting it down to 17 was very, very, very difficult. I mean, I've got pictures. I've got video. I've got reams. I mean, the speeches you saw last night, like the speech she gave when she was campaigning for Clinton, that's only a portion of the speech. I mean, the speech is longer than that. The getting sworn in, that speech is longer. You know, you've heard that speech.
Yeah.
That's longer. Those interviews she gives on the local shows, that was just a small portion of that. I only ran the casino ad. I did not run the Josh Mandel ad, which I wanted to run. I didn't. Couldn't fit it. Didn't have the time. The speech at the end where she's talking about her advice to kids, that's a portion. You know? I mean, it was all portioned out.
Well, I mean... it probably fits. I mean, she was in public office for... a long time.
But I don't think people get... Again, we've had this conversation on the show. She was Treasurer of the United States. I don't think people get her popularity amongst the country and Ohio. I really think it's lost on people.
Well, I mean, to my understanding, she was very visible for a treasurer. Treasurers tend to not... she was doing, like I said, state quarters program, and you know the whole link deposit.
It's what's interesting.
She did a lot of things.
Yeah, but what's interesting to me is people don't get. They hear the fact, but they don't understand the significance. They hear in the Guinness Book of World Records for signing more currency than anybody else, a record that still holds 31 years later. Well, yes, that's the fact. But the reasoning is because. She was outside. Find another treasurer that went out and did that. Went to shows, signed money, would sign things for people, sign walls. They mentioned it on talk shows when she was on Good Morning Utah. You know, people don't understand that that didn't happen with other treasurers. That did not go on. You know, she was very, very, very visible. And I think that's one of the reasons that Bill Clinton chose her. She was a savings bond. They sold more savings bonds under her terms than any other time except World War II. Because she was outselling them. She was very visible.
Yes, I heard her. I mean, I did not see the 17-minute clip, but I heard her say in the 17-minute clip that, I mean, I don't know who they is, but she said that they were saying that that she sold as many savings bonds as when they were first released, or when the savings bonds program first came out.
Yeah.
And so she was working.
Right, and the state quarter program. You know, David Pepper said he learned last night that this popular state quarter program came from her when she was treasurer. The redesign of the money came when she was treasurer of the United States. The Sacagawea... Governor Taft gave Mary Ellen a Sacagawea coin last night.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was great.
I think there's a great irony in that because Governor Taft was sort of run out of office because of CoinGate, and he gave her a coin last night. I don't know if anybody saw the irony in that.
That's funny. money.
You know, I thought about saying that, but I thought Governor Taft will never talk to me again if I say that.
He won't like that.
No, but I thought, boy, when he gave her that coin, I thought, this is the greatest irony of ironies. Governor Taft giving a treasurer of the United States a coin?
Oh,
the man who got in trouble for Coingate?
That's, you know, that is funny. I didn't think about that.
I thought that was great irony.
It is. That's good.
But I don't think Governor Taft was joking when he said, if Mary Ellen had run in 98, I would not have won. Now, run, or what, won. But again, that's, tell me a treasurer who was courted, any Republican or Democrat, to run for governor 3 times in 10 years. You don't do that because you don't have popularity.
I wonder what it would have been like had Mary Ellen decided that she didn't want to retire and did run for governor after her stint as treasurer.
That would have been interesting.
That would have been interesting.
Because that would have been... Whose race would that have been? I think that would have been Voinovich. Would it still been Voinovich? Because Strickland came in, I think, in 2000... Yeah, because Voinovich was before Strickland. Or was it Taft? No, I can't remember the progression. Celeste, who was governor then?
Oh, you're good.
This is weird. Okay, no, it was Taft. It would have been Taft. Taft was still, because Taft, or governor, did I say president? Yeah, I think I did. Governor. It was Taft, because Taft was prior to Strickland. It went Celeste, Voinovich, Taft, Strickland, Kasich, DeWine. So it would have been Taft.
Well, you think she could have done it? Well, I mean, Taft even seems to think she could have.
Well, Taft
done
apparently
it.
Thought that that could happen.
Yeah.
You know, as they said in that article, the head of the Democratic Party said she's in everybody's wallet. You know, she's very visual.
Yeah, and I don't even remember where I heard it. I heard it, I think, on your show, probably. I don't remember, but. She has signed so much money that if you go and buy like play money, a lot of the times the signature on the play money is her signature.
Well, and again, you know, it's $1.1 trillion.
That's a lot.
And it's still out there. So, I mean, you got to understand all this and, just a treasurer. If I go out and ask people who the treasurer of Ohio is now, they have no idea, but they certainly did in those days. And it was not just Marion. She was a, and I think David talked about it, the gravitas that she had. Tell me a president who goes out campaigning with their treasurer now. Well, Bill Clinton did.
Well, I mean, you know, I guess I can't vouch for how influential she was. I wasn't there. I mean, I guess she certainly brought a broom last night. I mean, if that says anything.
Well, and that's it. 31 years later, the crowd still comes.
Well, you know, makes sense, I suppose.
It was just fun.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, easily one of the best parties I've been to.
You keep thinking these moments can't happen. You know, the 30-year thing happened, and you thought, okay, well, you can't top that. And then WrestleMania happens, and you think, well, that's pretty tough to top. And then this happens, and you think, wow. You know?
You know, I do think the problem is the, I think the only thing we might struggle topping is Groundhog Day.
Well, Groundhog, you know, there's another thing that's in the midst of all that. I mean, there's so much, it seems like every time something, you think, well, you're not going to get above that, and then it happens. And then it happens. So, you know, it's a lucky, lucky life. But Christian, big part of that last night.
Absolutely.
It's always the problem, though, when you're the front. You know, when you're the person out there doing the intros and the people on the videos are talking about you, you know, you get more credit than anybody else. But I, you know, it's the absolute truth. I'd love to be totally egotistical about the whole thing. But the truth of the matter is you're only as good as your team. I mean, that's true.
The whole you're only as strong as your weakest link kind of thing.
Well, I mean, hopefully you pick your team. I think you do.
I assume so.
But you pick people who you know you can count on to do the job. And that was a perfect example of it last night. There was a lot going on last night. And I couldn't handle it all. So, you know, that's... And I think sometimes when you're... It's a good lesson in life. Most people don't have jobs like this, where something like that's going to happen, you know? Like, if you're working at a bank, you don't have to pick a good team to have a big Christmas party at the bank. You can probably get the warm eggnog and the mistletoe yourself. But it's different in this, because broadcasting is groupthink. You can't do what happened last night on a grand scale like that, one person.
Well, I think
I could probably handle a Christmas party at a bank. You know, let's invite the staff, let's get the eggnog, and we'll have a gift exchange.
I mean, it went well. I think I did the least work of everybody last night. I spent most of the time talking. I took a few pictures, but then I'm like the because I had.
We got a big problem with pictures around here.
I should have just sat on the floor.
I'm not
the
whole,
like I was just crouched in front of the camera, so I couldn't stand there and take pictures because then I would have been in front of the camera, and I didn't want to keep walking in front of the camera, so I was just crouched there. So then,
Governor DeWine coming over at the jug. That was a big moment.
That was great.
So I mean, here we are.
Let's see: DeWine, Celeste, Taft, Strickland.
That's four.
Yeah, I've met four governors.
Now, would you have ever thought that?
No, I didn't even think I'd meet one governor, honestly.
And a sitting governor.
That's right.
So, I mean, that's why this is fun. And do you understand now why this is not like a regular job?
Well, I never said it was like a regular
job. No, but it's hard to explain that to people. You know, you say, well, then no, that's just your job. That's just your job that you chose. You know, no, it's a whole different thing. I don't think you understand. It's just different.
I mean, I think a lot of it's kind of just luck. I mean, there's a lot of, like, not luck, too. I mean, but, I mean, you know.
But the Ashley Williams video.
Oh, ooh. God, Ashley Williams.
God bless her.
You know, I think I would be okay if there was no Ashley Williams.
Well, I don't care. I wonder if I can bring that video up. It's only a minute. I'll give you a little taste of last night. Because this one's been heard now, so people can hear it.
Oh,
it's worthwhile, folks. Well, phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know,
I think Ashley Williams has... I mean, I don't know. I've never seen one of her movies, but I'm going to give her some credit and say that she could probably be doing such better films than
Hallmark
than
movie?
They're all the same movie.
Yeah, but do you know how
different
many people watch those
same
things?
Same formula, same movie.
But do you know how many people have watched those movies and seen them? And the Hallmark, the Christmas season, how much attention that gets?
I don't know why. It's the same movie. You've seen one, you can pretty much tell how the rest of them are going to go.
I don't know about that.
That's why I like shows with you know, unexpected endings.
Unexpected endings.
Yep.
Yeah, but the movies are well done. I mean, the storyline is more or less the same, but movies are well done. Okay, here you go. It's 57 seconds. Hopefully you can hear. This is Ashley Williams last night during the Mary Ellen birthday party. Well, this is worth the price of admission this morning alone.
Okay. Hi. My name's Ashley Williams. You might recognize me from some Hallmark Christmas movies. Listen, I'm friends with Scott Spears. I don't know if you know the guy. I happen to be a massive fan of his. I'm also a fan of Mary Ellen Withrow. Happy birthday. I think you are unbelievable. And what you have done for women, for our country, what you have made possible is immeasurable. I am big time celebrating you. Check it. Happy birthday, Mary Ellen. I love you. Thank you so much for everything. Bye.
Oh, wonderful. I tell you, if we could have just ran that 57 seconds all night last night, I'd have been fine. It's great.
You know, I mean, It's good. The beginning's a little.
You said cheesy. We had the mic shut off. You said it was cheesy. What's your problem?
The beginning's just a little cheesy.
Why is it cheesy?
It's just strange. I don't know.
What is strange? What do you have a problem with what the woman said?
I don't have a problem with what she said, I guess. It's more so like how she said it, I suppose. I don't know. It was just...
Well, what are you referring to here?
It was just strange. You have to watch the video.
What does she say?
She says, hello, I'm friend. My name is Ashley Williams. You might recognize me from some Hallmark movies. I'm friends with Scott Spears. I don't know if you know who that is.
That's good. Then she went deep.
The Mary Ellen thing, that was good.
Then she said, I'm a massive fan.
Oh, she did say she was a massive fan.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
She and you said think it's only Marion, Ohio, huh?
No, as a matter of fact, When I was leading Strickland to the green room, he was telling me how good you were.
Oh really? I didn't realize Strickland was. What did Strickland have to say? See, the things I was busy doing, I didn't get to hear.
Well, I mean that's about. I mean because he said so you work with a radio station, right? And I said yeah, and he told me I'm lucky. Told me you were good. That
Strickland's always been nice.
Told
to me
your interviews were good. That that kind of thing.
Well, Strickland's always been good to me.
I get that a lot from
first governor to ever come to Marion, Ohio to do an interview in person.
I like Strickland. I talked to him for a little bit.
So he always holds a special place in my brain.
Well, apparently you do for him as well.
Well, that people know, and it was interesting because David Pepper, I was standing with him out in the hallway last night. And we were having a nice little chat, and these people are just so... A lot of this isn't true, but they're very nice. We were out in the hallway last night, and somebody came over, and they were saying something nice. You did a nice job tonight, and it's great you got all these people here, and, you're our local personality or whatever it was. Something like that. And David Pepper said, no, he's statewide. So that's nice.
Oh, that's another thing Strickland said. He said that he thought you were so much better, and let me rephrase. He said that he thought you deserved a much larger audience than what you had, and I told him that we are we're online now as well, and I told him that we have listenership in Florida and California, and then we get listeners in Boston on occasion, and he thought that was just the most amazing thing.
Good.
So...
I don't know what it is. People say nice things, it's people who think I'm difficult. I don't know. Some people are nice.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think that maybe some people just have questions they don't necessarily want to answer. So then they think you're difficult.
I don't know. I was just last night when I went home, I just thought about the event because you go home and there was nobody there, which is good, but I thought, that's your first chance to kind of deconstruct it in your brain because you were doing it. And it was fun to think, wow, that happened. That was fun. And it's a lucky life to be a part of stuff like that.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not...
I mean, how can you be depressed?
It's not every day you get so many high-profile people in a room all together.
But, I mean, how can anybody be depressed with a life like that? I mean, Al Gore was a part of that show last night. Bill Clinton, Sam Donaldson, two governors. I mean, I don't think these things happen in Marion, Ohio, which is great. I think people think you can just get together and do a show. Let's do a show. Okay, good.
I mean, anybody could do a show, I guess. I just don't know that it'll be a good show.
That's it. I think they don't...
Everybody could do a show.
Everybody thinks they can do it. Everybody thinks they've got their own little thing going on. I don't think they understand it. I really don't. It's unfortunate. A few people do, but it's not a large group.
Well, yeah.
I don't know why. 740-383-9944. I think the biggest thing that helped me, honestly, was I got to work very heavy in terrestrial radio when it was at its height. So I saw what that was. And you can't do that now. It's not there. It's not, certainly it's not the popularity it was in those days. And so it just, you can't, it's much like I always say about the guest, you know, the old people as a guest. So who told me recently, I was having a conversation with somebody about that. And I said, so, you know, oh, the big joke is that I have people on who are older. And they said, why would you want younger people on? What are you going to talk to them about? Because they haven't had a career. What are you going to, except what book are you selling? What show are you promoting? I mean, that's what you really get into with younger people, unless they've got some kind of dramatic story.
I don't know. I mean, I guess. I mean, you could talk to young people about anything else, I suppose. I mean, I don't know that they'll have a...
It's not going to have the impact, and I learned a long time ago...
Well, they don't have the, like...
You have to understand, again, people don't understand that the generation, and they're almost all gone now, but when I came into radio, the generation that was still alive was the generation that was huge on television when there were only three channels. So... television in those days, if you watched Ed Sullivan or you watched Johnny Carson, 70% of the country was watching those shows. So names like Phyllis Diller and Art Linkletter and Bill Cosby and Dick Van Dyke, everybody knew those names. They were older, but the people who were watching in those days were not dead, and those names were bigger than the current names because the current names live in a world with internet and cable television and fragmented audiences. So, you know, you always had more mass appeal by having an older person on because they were in an era when the audience was three channels.
Well, I didn't have to
tell people who Phil Donahue was. I didn't have to explain it.
Well, I think that largely, like the internet has done, well, helped do away with that, I suppose. Like Ted Williams, for example. There's not many people alive who had a computer at the time of his, I guess, discovery, if you want to put it that way. Who don't know who he is, because he was the first, like, viral video. And back in, you know, the day, I suppose, I mean, it was not very long ago, but it was back when I was a kid, or smaller kid, I suppose. But, and, you know, if there was something that went viral, everybody saw it. But now the internet is so, fractioned out, if something's viral, it's only viral for, like,
a group. You know, it's weird you mentioned. Somebody the other day told me something went viral, and I said it did?
Yeah, I mean, it's because the internet's so fragmented that, I mean, it's viral for a certain group.
I don't know. What was that thing that somebody told me went viral? And when Ted Williams went viral, everybody knew.
Yeah, it doesn't happen that way anymore.
But see, there again, Ted is not an older person, and Ted was not older when I certainly first started interviewing him. He was 15 years younger, and that was a great story that came out of Ohio. I mean, it was a great, great, great story. So, yeah, you do those stories. Yesterday, oh gosh, I mean, it got overshadowed because of the Withrow birthday party, but the man I had on yesterday morning, oh God, don't let me forget his name, Jason David. I mean, young people forget that I do those interviews, but what a story. This man lost 80% of his tongue to cancer. The doctor said he would never speak again. He would never sing. And now he's singing and he's giving speeches at churches. What a great story.
Yeah. I mean, I think,
and he sang live on the show yesterday.
That's good. I mean, I ought to listen to that show, actually.
I mean, I love that interview. And the guy, I think, early 30s. I mean, he's not that old. And but I should mention, he's... Well, where's the plug? I'll give him a plug.
Yeah, I was about to say, isn't he doing yeah.
anything? Tonight, he'll be at the Marion Christian Center at 9:30 after the football games. That's 1550 Richland Road. And then on Sunday morning, he'll be at the Genesis Church at 9 and 11 a.m., 921 Woodrow Avenue. And he will be performing... Cancer Took His Tongue, and He Chose to Sing, the Blank Canvas Tour with Jason David. And I think it's well worth the time. I enjoyed him. I really did.
Well, he sounds like an enjoyable fellow.
Should have got him on the show. Well, he's doing his thing tonight, I guess. It overlapped.
Well, yeah.
One of those things, unfortunately.
You could have him call in the first hour.
Well, I think I've pretty well done it with him. We did 2 hours yesterday.
Well.
But it's a story. I'll tell you. 80% of your tongue? Doctor said you would never speak again? See, and that the celebrities are fun. Yes, and last night was fun, and that's all good. But those things, you certainly remember those. You remember those interviews. Because at some point you realize this is a man who's been diagnosed with cancer twice, stage 4 cancer, 80% of his tongue was taken out, he was told he would never speak or sing again, and he did. I mean, that's a story.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not every day that, I don't know what a good word for it is, but, miraculous, I suppose. It's not every day something that, that special happens.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, it was an odd morning to book him, and it was a short booking, but I wasn't aware till Wednesday night this was even happening. We have a publicity problem here in Marion. We don't get the word out very well.
Yeah, I think that we could have, like, a PR.
What? Give me a Mike Larson joke. Because honestly, at that point, I think Mayor Schertzer was talking to me. I don't remember hearing his jokes. Honestly.
I mean, I don't know. The only one I can remember, like, I don't want to say verbatim because I don't know. But close to verbatim is I think it's the first joke he used when he got up there. He said that obviously Mary Ellen has been drinking out of the fountain of youth, and the only person she's been sharing it with is Scott, because Scott's been doing radio for 30 years and he still looks 17.
Now see, that's good.
Yep.
I think that's positive.
I guess. I mean, it's not. I don't think it's negative.
No, but it's a good joke.
I mean, people laughed. Yeah.
Oh, good.
That's what you want.
I'm glad they laughed. I honestly didn't hear that joke.
I mean, he made a joke about something about Republicans and being unconstitutional.
Yeah, I think it's about the time I was coming back in.
Yeah, that one did not do so hot.
Well, again, I don't know. Pro-democratic crowd. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Did anybody get anything from the interview yesterday? We haven't had a chance to talk about that with Jason David. I just found him fascinating.
Sounds like it. How old is he?
I think in his 30s. Because I think the cancer they said came, I think he said in his late 20s.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good.
You know, and people think they've got problems. You know, that's a problem.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's not many things that, I don't know, there's not many things that are all that big of a problem, I suppose. I mean, a lot of the times if a problem happens, I think you just gotta say, well, that's fine. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it at that point. And then just keep on keeping on.
Yeah. It's a good time. So, tonight, what's on your show?
We're gonna talk about Mary Ellen's party, obviously. We're gonna cover that a little bit. There's some stuff as far as football goes I wanted to talk about. You know, that kind of thing. The usual, a mixture of whatnot. Talk about the government shutdown.
Well, what do you make of the government shutdown?
Well, I mean, I think it probably doesn't bode well for the Republicans. I mean, they're trying to blame it all on the Democrats, but I mean, I don't know, in my opinion at least, it's hard to blame it all on the Democrats, and when the Republicans have the presidency, they have the majority on the Supreme Court, even though that's, you know, supposed to be nonpartisan, but doesn't tend to work out that way. And they have both houses of the Congress. So, I mean, I don't know how you can go about blaming the Democrats. I mean, it's up to you. I mean, you've got the majority.
Yeah, but they'll say you got to have those 8 Democrats to get it over the line. I think all the Republicans are voting for it. I don't know if there are any holdouts there.
I think that... But wouldn't you just figure, if you needed 8 Democrats, you would find some small provision to add in there to flip 8 Democrats? But the Democrats seem to just be hunkered down, and the Republicans seem to just be hunkered down. I think the longer it goes on, the worse it's going to get for the Republicans.
Well, according to David Pepper, it's Wall Street Journal this morning says the Democrats are coming out good in this.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Well, I don't know that the Democrats are coming out good. I mean, I guess it makes them look better because the Republicans look bad. I mean, they come out better simply because the Republicans are worse for wear.
Well, I don't know. I think it's interesting.
Well, I mean, I think everything's interesting to some extent.
Well, I mean, there was no doubt in my mind back in July with all the hits that Schumer took for getting people to not shut the government down, that the next time it came up, there was no doubt that it was going to happen because there was no way.
He got beat over the head every way.
Yeah.
Every which way.
Well, and you know, honestly, now I think people are looking at him and saying, why didn't you do this then? Because we are gaining from this. You said it was going to be awful for us.
Who?
Schumer. That's what he said. He went on all the shows and said, we're giving the power of the purse to Donald Trump if we do this.
I mean, I don't know what all he's done, but I mean, I know he canceled, I don't remember, some odd billions of dollars of funding to New York for, I think one of them's for a metro system renovation, I think, and then the other one is for, I think that's for green energy or something of that sort.
Well, he can do it.
Well, yeah, he did. So.
Is this what the big fear was?
Well, by the way, he didn't stop it. I think I said he stopped it. He put it on hold, I think is how they phrased it.
I don't know. Government shutdowns, I don't think, are good.
Oh, no, I figure you want your government operating. I mean, it's, you know.
But I just
don't... If the government shut down, it means they're incapable of working with each other, at least at the given moment.
I just don't know if this gets... I don't know how it's going to be solved.
Well, I mean, I think that ultimately, so long as the Democrats hold out, I think that probably the Republicans will give some small health care concession, and then that'll be enough to flip enough Democrats.
Well, but isn't that what this is all about, is health care?
That's what the Democrats are saying. And I guess the Republicans even in a way, but they're saying that it's for health care for immigrants.
Oh. Well, if that was you, call back in 740-383-9944. Sorry I missed the call, but we'd love to have you back on the program. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. 51 minutes past the hour. Now, Christian saw me being hard on the Democrats earlier. Now, everybody always says I'm not hard on the Democrats. Did you feel that was a hard on the Democrats moment?
I don't know. I don't really think it was hard on the Democrat. I mean, you said that Amy Acton hasn't done any press appearances and don't know why she hasn't, and that's fair. I mean, that's true. She hasn't gone on anything.
Is that a knock?
If it's a knock, I mean, it's true either way. So, but no, I don't think it's a knock. I mean, you're just saying that. I mean, you're saying that she hasn't come on here and she's been invited, and she hasn't gone on anywhere, and I assume she's been invited. And the only show she has done is some Columbus TV station. So, I mean, it's all true. So, I mean, if it looks bad on her, then that's her fault?
Yeah, but I don't... it's just an odd thing to not understand. It's hard to understand why she's not.
Why she's not coming on?
Yeah, I wonder what the antsiness is with reporters.
I figure it has something to do with the fact that she talked to, I think it was an AP reporter, I'm not 100%, I don't remember, but she talked to a reporter at the the Democratic National Convention and they and said, yeah, I might be running for governor. And then they reported that, and she was not a fan of that. And, you know, apparently she had people, like, beating down her door during COVID and had to change her phone number.
Well, I understand that. I understand all that. But I don't think reporters were beating down her door during COVID. And I don't quite understand.
Well, yeah. I mean...
I think that's a terrible analogy. I don't get that. You know, you were in a car crash, so you're not going to take the bus? I mean, I don't quite understand where these things are lining up.
She just probably feels distrustful.
Go ahead, caller.
You know, Matt brought up the funding situation for New York City. Well, you know why that's come about, don't you?
Well, Chuck Schumer is, the senator from New York. Yeah.
That's coming about as retribution for a state that voted, that did not vote for Trump. If you look at all these, the military that's in these major cities, they're all Democratic states. You know, that is being done by retribution. And, you know, like Trump said in his speech the other day, the new war is in the streets of our cities. That's the new war. And to go after the radical left. You know, it's just... he does everything he can do to punish somebody if they speak out against him. That's the reason why a lot of Republicans don't want to speak out against him, but Ted Cruz did a little bit the other day. But is that the way to run for a president to act?
Well, I mean, no. I mean, I figure the president should probably be a little more statesman than that. I don't...
You know, Trump ain't putting anybody in office, you know, in the departments that's actually qualified. Pete Hegseth, you know, his highest rank was a major.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, and
there's the whole,
head of the Defense Department, but they want us to call it the Department of War now instead of the Defense Department. Doesn't that make sense that we use our military to defend our country, not as an act of war to go into our inner cities and make that the new training ground for the military?
I don't understand how they do military training in the cities. Unless they're like drilling in the streets, but then at that point they have to close down the streets.
Well, they're going to train them how to fight the radical left in these cities. If you speak out, they're going to be there.
Well, I think that things are holding up here. I mean, the media obviously is holding up, or we wouldn't know about any of this. And I think, obviously, people are going to do what they're going to do. I don't know. I don't feel that there's a big, huge worry going on right now. I mean, there are a lot of people who have a positive opinion of what happened here, I guess.
What do you mean, what happened?
Well, I think there are a lot of people who felt that Hegseth should have done what he did, and they don't have a problem with it being called...
To make fun of all of the generals?
Well, I don't know what that was. Maybe... I honestly don't know. You would have to... I didn't understand that part, but, you know, people don't take it that way.
And, like, when Trump started off with his speech, you know, he told the generals that they can do, you know, have an opinion and do what they want. They can even walk out if they feel like it.
But
he said that he's going to ruin your career and your life.
Well, I think part of the problem right now is that if you like Trump, he can do no wrong. If you dislike him, he can't do anything right.
Well, I think even some of your people that like Trump, I don't hear any of them calling in and defending him. Now, call in and tell me how wrong I am on anything I'm trying to point out.
Well, as I said,
they're not defending him like they were. So many industries are hurting right now. You know, the truckers that drive these cars around, you know, deliver them to the dealerships and stuff, they're hurting bad. It's not just the new car sales, but it's also your used car. Okay, if the market is flooded with so many cars that they can't sell, and they're giving big discounts to sell those cars, what's your three-year-old car going to be worth?
Well, that's the point. I mean, is that if people truly are unhappy with this and people don't like it, then that's going to be reflected in the way people vote and the way people talk. So, I mean, you know, nobody's going to overcome that.
Well, Trump seems to overcome everything because nobody wants to go against him, but it's high time people start speaking up.
Well, and then people certainly have their right to do it. Hey, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a few seconds left here in this hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, who knows? You know, I think it's people's right to like and dislike who they want and support and not support what they don't like. That's what's supposed to happen.
Well, I mean, that's the understanding, yeah.
And you hope it does. We're going to break. We'll be back with much more after this short but important break here on WGH Talk. Don't you dare go away.
We're listening to The Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with